Good to be with you again this afternoon. Glad to have those of you visiting with us again. I do want to mention that this is Ethan's last service with us for a while, for about 6 weeks. He's going to be traveling with a group from Florida College, working at summer camps this summer. So he'll be leaving Tuesday, and he's doing four camps in Louisiana, Kentucky, Georgia, and Alabama. And so he'll be gone for 6 weeks. So please keep him in your prayers while he's traveling. I want to continue our short series that we've been doing regarding the wisdom literature and how it relates to our family. We've done one lesson dealing with mothers. Last week we did a lesson on parenting, and tonight we're going to talk about the role of children and what Proverbs has to say about that. Last week we noticed that Solomon was teaching his son about good, godly parenting, and Solomon wanted to teach his son early in life how to be a good parent, so when that day came, that he would have the wisdom to know what to do. And as we've noticed, there's a great deal of wisdom in the book of Proverbs that helps guide us, and a lot of this is counter to what you might hear in the wisdom of the world today, especially when it comes to discipline and other advice that we might give to children. So the son will be able to have insight as he learns from Solomon and guides his own children the way that they ought to go. And certainly, children that are growing up now can observe what their parents do and note those kind of things and learn from that as well. But Solomon spends some time also discussing the role of children. And what we want to notice here is something that many of you studied in your class in Exodus in chapter 20 of Exodus verse 12. Honor your father and mother is one of the Ten Commandments. It's also repeated in Ephesians chapter 6. And so the question comes up from time to time, well, exactly how do you do that? And Proverbs is a good place to learn how to honor your father and mother. And that's the point that you see Solomon bringing out in these Proverbs. And one thing that you do notice about children, and you do notice in the book of Proverbs, is that it seems that every child at an early age seeks the approval of his or her parents. And, you know, this is a challenge at some times, and it is it's something that may change over time. But, you know, from my experience being a son, I always sought the approval of my mom and dad. And I even when I was not behaving the way that I should, you know, I wanted their approval. And certainly that's something that the children do seem to seek out. I know that some people may say from time to time that they don't really care what anybody else thinks, or they don't care what their mom and dad think about it. And I just really don't believe that deep down anybody really doesn't care what their parents think about them. There may be a rift, there may be some kind of problem that needs to be worked out, but deep down people seek the approval of their parents. We want our parents to be proud of us. And Solomon is going to tell us just how to do that. One thing that we do notice is that our actions as children and our decisions affect our parents. And it's easier to see this when you've been a parent and you can look back at your childhood and see how some of your decisions and your actions and mistakes may have affected your parents, and you didn't really realize it until later time how much of a reaction or how much of an effect it did have. But let's look at Solomon. Solomon certainly recognizes this in several different places. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, "A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother," also a grief to the father as well. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20. "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." To have a fool for a son brings grief, but there is no joy for the father of a fool. Proverbs chapter 23, 24, and 25. "The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a, has a wise son, delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. And in chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. And so this is certainly not an exhaustive list of what Proverbs has to say about children and the effect that children have on their parents. But I think this is enough here to show you that Solomon knows that children can cause joy and children can cause grief. And there are many, many Proverbs that speak about the joy of a wise child. And what these do is they impress upon us and should impress on young people that what they can do to bring joy or sorrow to their parents is something that they should be aware of. These are appeals to children to give your father and mother reason to rejoice. And often we don't think about that, but the things that we do, the actions that we make, the decisions that we make, you know, honor our father and mother and either give them joy or grief. What do we think about when we think of honoring father and mother? You know, maybe people think about Father's Day and Mother's Day and what they do for the parents on those days. And, you know, it's not just that for sure. It's more about, you know, respecting them and giving them their proper, you know, place. But it's really something that goes throughout life. It's something that is a lifelong mission to try to honor them, not just something that you do once in a while. And it certainly is painful when you talk to those who have no kind of contact with the parents or contact them very infrequently. In fact, when we were living in Dothan, my father made a point to go visit people in the hospital, and sometimes he would check the register at the hospital to see if there were other members of the church from other areas in the hospital there. And there was a woman who was, in the hospital for quite some time. And my father introduced himself. They got to talking and realized that they had some acquaintances and that they had children and grandchildren that attended services with us. And she said she hadn't seen them in years. And so it was something that was very disturbing to him that here is somebody that he doesn't even know that he's taken the time to go visit, and she's got family members in the area that have not, you know, taken the time to fulfill that responsibility. That would be an example of a child causing pain or a grandchild causing pain by not honoring those family members. When we look at these Proverbs, one of the things that you might notice about them is that they're not what you would call profound. And I don't mean that to insult Solomon by any means, but a lot of the things that we see, we understand are common sense. But a lot of those things are not practiced. And they should be something that should be common to a family that loves one another, that they treat each other in the right way. Parents want their children to honor them, and parents want their children to grow up and do well. Again, this is something that is much easier to see when you are a parent, that you want your children to become useful adults. At some point, you do want them to move out of the house and to become useful in society. And you don't want them to grow up to be leeches, you know, who don't have, you know, a place in the world. And, you know, parents enjoy seeing their children be successful. They enjoy seeing their children grow up making good decisions, not just when it comes to education or being successful in the business world or choosing a spouse. Those things are all important. But seeing a child grow up and follow in the path of righteousness, that is what will give parents the most joy, is for a child to grow up and be a faithful servant of God. And so this is something that does not need to be lost when we're talking about this subject. It's something that children need to know that they have a great deal of influence on their parents. They have a great deal of impact on the on either the joy or sorrow, the emotional well-being of their parents. As Christians and people that profess to love the Lord, we should always be seeking the approval of the Lord. We want to do what we can to seek His approval, and whether or not we have the approval of the rest of the world, we seek His approval. And the Lord has revealed to us what we can do to be found approved by Him and have a hope of a home in heaven. And so that's something that parents need to instill in their children, is that they need to seek the approval of God. And when the children seek the approval of God, then they're going to have the approval of a good parent, if the parent is on the same track as they want their children to be. And so that's something we need to reveal to our children, is that they find our approval by making wise decisions and taking godly actions in their lives. And that would make for a family that is the opposite of some of these that Solomon talks about, the fool that's bringing grief to the father and the mother. So how can a child do that? Sorry about this, guys, but I got to talk about it. You got to listen to your parents. I know not everybody's going to like this one, you young people that think you're adults. You honor your father and mother, and that means that you listen to training that they give you. And this is certainly found throughout the wisdom literature as well. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. And this would be true of people at many different ages, that they need to listen to rebuke and they need to learn from it. We need to be open to criticism when it's applicable to us. But a wise son heeds his father's instructions. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And so you see the common theme here is that you need to listen to your mom and dad. And if you want to be wise in life, then you will listen to the instructions of parents. Why is that? Well, in my case, when I went off to college and I was gone for several years, what I learned is that my parents were really busy during that time, really learning a lot. Because when I was away from them, it seemed like every year they were getting smarter and smarter. And it's amazing how much progress they made in that little bit of time that I was away from home. Well, you know, what happened? You know, how did they get so smart so quickly? Well, maybe it was me that changed, and I realized that they actually knew something, and I was not realizing that at home. And so the wisdom that they had, and see, this is back in the day, if I wanted to get advice from my parents, I had to call them collect, or if you know what that means. That means that you call them and they have to pay for the phone call. It wasn't wide open like it is now when you talk to your girlfriend for 3 hours and it doesn't cost you anything and fall asleep, you know, while they're on the phone. It doesn't matter now. You have unlimited minutes, but it costs a fortune. In fact, my parents told me to quit calling them. But, you know, the thing was is that for some reason, I didn't want to talk to them at all when I was at home, but when I got away from home, I wanted to talk to them. Because I realized that I needed them and that they had advice that I wanted to hear, and I had questions that I wanted to have answered. And so, again, it wasn't that they had gotten so smart so quickly, it's that I was the one that changed. And that's something that's hard to understand, and I know it happens generation after generation, that, you know, the smartest people in any room are always the teenagers, because they have so much life experience to share. But when they get older, they realize that they didn't know as much as what they thought they did when they were 15 or 16. Parents, regardless of what you think of them and how many mistakes you might see that they make, being a parent and respecting your parents does not mean that you recognize that they are perfect and that they've never made mistakes. But a lot of times the advice that they give you is based on mistakes that they've made in the past, and they don't want to see you fall down that same path. It might be an economic mistake. It might be a moral mistake. It may be something else. But something that, or it might be an educational thing. You know, somewhere down the line, they wish that they could go back and change a few things. And nobody can do that. But one thing that parents can do is that they can try to give people the benefit of the advice and the experience that they've had to keep their children from making the same mistakes. And so that really goes to respecting anybody that's older than you, that has had more experience than you, that you want to take advantage of that. Unless somebody is devious and mean and trying to push you down the wrong path, they want to give you advice that is going to be helpful to you and that you can learn from that. And so, while as kids we may want to think that our parents have no idea of what life is like or what it's like to grow up as a teenager today, it doesn't take long for us to mature to the point to realize our parents knew exactly what we were going through and that they indeed, you know, there's proof through the pictures that they used to be kids too and that they went through the same things. So the fool does not listen to his parents, but the wise son and daughter will listen to them and to the correction that they provide. Another thing that Solomon says is, do not speak against your parents. Do not speak against your parents. In Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 20, if you insult your father or mother, your light will be snuffed out in total darkness. It's an interesting proverb. Solomon offers a couple of suggestions here on teaching your son the need for being verbally respectful, to be respectful with your speech, the way that you talk to other people. The second clause of this proverb is interesting, and I think it's helpful to look at a couple of others here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 9, the light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. And Proverbs chapter 24, verse 20, for the evil man has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Now, in our Bible class this morning, we were going through the commandments, and one of the things that's interesting about the commandments is the punishment for the disrespectful child, and, you know, it's death. And so, you know, the comment was made that we wouldn't have had a class if that was still in effect today. But I don't think what Solomon is talking about here is that if you insult your father or mother, I'm going to take you out. That's not what this is saying. That's not what is meant by the light is going to be snuffed out, that you're going to be gone. But, you know, the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. If you curse and insult your parents, then you are wicked, and your lamp's going to be snuffed out. What Solomon is saying is that if you choose to despise your parents and curse and insult them, then you're wicked. And what happens to those that are wicked? Well, eventually they are going to be snuffed out. It's something that God counts as a sin. And it seems today, and maybe for many years, that this is almost a given that people will insult their parents. I can remember when I was working for, well, I won't say what company, but I was working for a company that one of the managers had a son that was working there, and I traveled with them on many trips. And the son had no respect for his father and insulted him constantly and berated him, and the father just kind of took it. And I thought, you know, my father would have snuffed me out if that had been me talking that way. He had no respect for his father, and that really the father was not deserving of that treatment from any regard. You know, what the father was doing, the things that he was saying, advice that he was giving. I'm not saying at any point would it have been justifiable, but it was not just, you could not make it justifiable the way that he was treating his father. I just thought it was outrageous. And Solomon is saying this is not the way that children should treat their parents. They should not treat them with a lack of respect. The way that you talk to them, you are going to be labeled wicked. God is labeling you a sinner. God is going to snuff you out spiritually if you are going to behave this way. You will be cast into outer darkness. So it's not something to take lightly, even if you think your parents are crazy. Do not mistreat your parents. Chapter 28, verse 24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, it is no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. It's reminiscent of what Jesus talked about to those that would twist the law so that they would not have to take care of their parents. That they would say, well, I'm going to give my money to the temple, therefore I have no responsibility to my parents. You would think that this would be an obvious point and not need to be said, that you don't mistreat your parents. But even in the days of Solomon, children acted out against their parents. Chapter 19, verse 26, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. If you want to paraphrase this, I think what Solomon is saying is that you're killing your parents by acting this way. You do violence to your father and mother and chase away your mother as a son who brings shame and reproach. In this particular instance, what Solomon is referring to is the one that robs his father and mother. Years and years ago, I bought a car from Lloyd Barker. A lot of you know Lloyd Barker. He used to sell used cars. And it was at a time when I needed one, and I bought one from him. And then I wanted to upgrade to something else. And there was a young man who called me that Lloyd had given him my number and said, you know, Randy's got a car he wants to sell. And so he made arrangements to buy it. I told him what I wanted for it. I don't remember what it was. Let's just say it was $4,000. And what he wanted to do is to bring me a check for $4,500 and me give him $500 back. Which didn't really make a whole lot of sense. If you follow what I'm saying, I wanted $4,000, but he wanted me to give him a bill of sale for $4,500. So it would appear that I was selling it for $4,500. And you know what he did with that? He sold it to his dad. He was buying a car for his dad, and his dad gave him $4,500, and he pocketed the $500. I was wanting $4,000, and he was acting like he was going to buy it, but he didn't really buy it for himself. He bought it. He was sourcing it for his dad, and he charged his dad more money and kept the money and made the paperwork look like that was the amount that he paid for it. So you know what that means? If you could follow that at all, he stole $500 from his dad by being deceitful. Solomon says that's despicable. Whoever robs his father or mother and says it's no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. And I'll never forget that, because it seemed like such a horrible thing. I didn't really realize why he was wanting to do that. It was actually somebody else that told me, did you know he sold that to his father? But I didn't know why. The whole thing just didn't make sense to me. But Solomon is saying you ought not to be acting that way. You could not dishonor them any more than from stealing from them or acting this way against them. Don't mistreat them. And there's so many ways that you could certainly mistreat parents. Another thing that Solomon talks about is doing your part or pulling your own weight. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Another important way that we honor our parents is by pulling our own weight. So, my parents were very cruel in that I had to clean a bathroom every Saturday, and my mom did the white glove treatment. There were three bathrooms in the house, and there were three boys, and each one of us had a bathroom that we had to clean. And so we had to get the soap scum off the walls. We had to make sure that there was no mildew or anything on the grout. And my mom had very high standards of how that should be done. And I don't know that I ever passed the first inspection, but every Saturday, that was before I did anything else, I was to get in there, put on the rubber gloves, and clean that bathroom. And my dad also wanted us to work. In fact, he made copies of little slips of paper that said, Randy and Byron will, you know, mow your grass, and made a little flyer that he put in mailboxes around the neighborhood because he wanted us to use that lawnmower and work and gain some money. And we had a pretty successful lawn cutting business. I wasn't real happy that he did that because the phone was ringing off the hook and there were other things that we wanted to do other than cut grass. And I remember one time we cut somebody's yard and we didn't want to do it because we were busy with something else. And so he made us go and do it, and we ran through the yard and with the lawnmower. And running with a lawnmower is not really good because it bounces up and down. And so in that yard, there was like little circles, you know, where the all over that yard. It was horrible, horrible job. And of course, they called and said, you know, this is not really what we were expecting. It looks like a bunch of aliens landed in our yard. And so we got in trouble for doing a halfway job on that. But the point is that my parents never thought that they were asking us too much to work. To take out the trash, to clean the bathroom, to clean the room, to clean the cars, to do the dishes, to set the table, or whatever else it was that they would have us to do. And they would point out that they were providing food. They were providing clothing. They were providing shelter. They were providing many other so-called luxuries to us. So, the least that we could do was not to be lazy while enjoying these privileges of being a child. Parents often say that childhood is wasted on the young, and that youth is wasted on the young. Because why do we say that? Because children that feel like they are so mistreated and persecuted don't really have the same trials and tribulations and cares and concerns that those that are adults have to do when they're trying to make money and make good decisions and carry on a career and those kind of things. So it's just a cyclical thing that children don't understand what the parents are going through, and the children think that the parents don't understand what they're going through and get so upset that they have, you know, jobs to do from the taskmasters. But children, Solomon says, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So what Solomon is saying, children, is that there should be no pride in being lazy. And that if your parents want you to do something, that you should happily do it. And you don't have to wait for your parents to ask you to do something. Every 2 or 3 years, Janet Gassaway will post on Facebook that Noah did something. No, I'm just kidding. But that from time to time, she will post that Noah did something that was unexpected, something that she didn't have to beat him to do, that he decided to do on his own. You don't have to be asked by your parents to do something. But you don't have to make them tell you 10 times to make your bed. You can actually just make it up on your own. And so many times we know what it is that we're supposed to do or what's expected or what would make them happy, and children can do that. So Solomon says, pull your weight. Do your part. Solomon also says that you need to watch your friends. Make good decisions. Chapter 28, verse 7 says, young people who obey the law are wise. Those with wild friends bring shame to their parents. Do we do a good job explaining to our children that who they choose as friends matter to us? I know that my parents were very picky about who our friends were and who would come over, who we were going out with, or you know, if somebody was giving us a ride just back and forth to school, they wanted to know about those people and maybe who their parents were and that kind of thing. It's certainly, you know, it's certainly obvious that picking bad friends can have a bad effect. And picking bad friends, as Solomon says, it suggests sometimes that you're like them. And it brings shame on the parents. And we often are, we become molded by the people that we spend our time around. And if we are around wild friends, then we're going to become like them. You know, one of the things that social media does today is it helps employers screen people. Because somebody may appear to be one way in an interview, but if they go and view what that person is doing on social media, it shows the kind of things that they like to do, if they like to go out and party. And you can tell a lot by the pictures and friends that people tend to post on social media. So there's a lot that people reveal about themselves because of the actions that they choose to do, the people that they choose to hang around. And, you know, Solomon's saying that the ones that you choose to be around says a lot about you. I think that's common sense that if we like to be around wild people, we tend to be wild ourselves. Because if you're not wild, if you're conservative and trying to do what God says, you're generally not going to be comfortable around those people that are trying to go in a different direction than you. So you're going to become generally like those that you hang around with. They're going to influence you. And parents do not want to see the hard work of training a child whittled away by a child picking bad companions. You need to honor your parents by picking good friends. So those are some things that Solomon has to say about children and the honor that they should give to their parents. There's a lot more that could be said about this, but just a quick overview of some reminders of things that I think we pretty much know. As is typical of many of these lessons, those of us that are parents sometimes look back and see that, oh, maybe we could have done a better job at applying some of these principles. And often, you know, children also look at these things and say, well, you know, I haven't been the kind of child that I should be. I have not honored my parents in the way that I should. You know, what should you do about it? Well, just like any time that we find ourselves in the wrong, you need to repent of it. You can apologize and you can start doing better. And those that are parents that have not brought their children up in the way that they should start now and repent of where they have failed at that and start doing better and applying God's principles. God commanded children to obey. Brennan read for us tonight in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. These are commands that need to be followed. And we need to, those that are children need to make sure that they are doing these things, because it's not just about your parents, it's about honoring the Lord. And if we want to have God's approval in eternity, then we need to seek His approval now by being obedient to these commands. If we can help you in any way tonight to embody these principles that we've been talking about, if you know that you're living a life that's not pleasing to God, maybe you have not made the right decisions and need to do something about that, there's no better time than the present. We'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.